Okay, let's get into it. We talk so much about the creative side of podcasting, the stories, the mics, the editing, but there's this this invisible piece of tech that really makes the whole thing work, the thing that gets your audio to the listener. I'm talking about the RSS feed.
It is completely invisible, but it's the entire backbone of how podcasts are distributed. At its heart, a podcast RSS feed is an XML file.
XML. Okay, that already sounds a bit technical.
It is, but you don't need to code it yourself. Think of it like a standardized contract. It's just a structured file that holds all the information about your show, the channel tags, which is the show itself, and all the info for each episode, which are the item tags.
Right, so I think a lot of people, especially if you're just starting a show, would hear XML and tags and just think, isn't that what my hosting platform is for? Why do I need to care about the code?
That's a fair question. And you care because that code is, well, it's the language that platforms like Apple Podcasts or Spotify understand. It's the only language they speak. If your code has a mistake, or if a tiny piece of information is missing, your show might get rejected. Or even worse, it's just invisible. This file is what allows them to automatically grab your new episodes the second you publish.
So it's all about that instant automatic update for subscribers.
Exactly. Without a reliable feed, none of that works.
Which brings us to the practical side of this. We can't all just write XML from scratch. So where do you begin?
You begin with step one, choosing your home base. The very first big decision is picking a reliable hosting service.
And the keyword there is reliable.
Absolutely. The service has to automatically generate and manage that XML feed for you. You know, you can go with a free service like Anchor and you'll get a feed. It works. But if you go with a paid host like Buzzsprout or Libsyn, you're paying for more than just hosting. You're paying for better analytics, reliability, and some really crucial advanced features.
Okay, I want to dig into that. Why should someone spend money when free options exist? Is it just about the stats, or is there a real functional risk with a free service for something this vital?
The risk really comes down to control. Free services often manage the feed URL on their own domain, which can make it a pain to move your show later. And more importantly, paid hosts let you fine-tune the metadata. And that's what makes or breaks how people find you. Which leads us right into step two, capturing your show's digital identity.
Metadata. So this is the show's digital ID card you mentioned. What are the absolute non-negotiable details you need for that feed?
This is where you have to be precise. The platforms are gatekeepers, so you need the show title, of course, a great description that tells people exactly what they're getting, and the cover image. They were so strict about the artwork, it has to be square, usually a minimum of 1400 by 1400 pixels. Honestly, just do 3000 by 3000. Apple's system will literally reject your entire feed if the dimensions are wrong.
Wow, just for the image size.
Just for that. You also need to pick your main category and then strategically add a few secondary ones.
What about the tags that maybe people miss? The stuff that separates, you know, a professional setup from an amateur one?
That's where the details get interesting. You have to pay attention to the administrative fields. For instance, the iTunes.explicit tag, it has to be yes or no. If you get that wrong, your show could get pulled. Another one is the copyright tag. And strategically, the iTunes.summary tag. The main description can be long, but that summary is often what shows up first in search results. You want to pack that with keywords.
Okay, so we've got our home base, we've defined our identity with all this detailed metadata. Now we need the actual content. What happens when you start uploading episodes?
That's step three. You upload your audio files, your first episode, maybe a couple to start. And with each file, you're adding episode-specific metadata. This is where those item tags and the XML come into play.
And those are more than just the episode title and some show notes, right?
Oh, absolutely. Beyond the title and your notes, every single episode must have a unique GUID. That's a global unique identifier.
A GUID? What's that, like a serial number?
It's basically a fingerprint. It's a unique string of characters your host generates for every audio file. If you mess with it or upload the same file twice with a different GUID, listening apps will think it's a brand new episode. It causes chaos. Duplicate downloads for your subscribers, it's a mess.
So you really don't want to touch that?
Never. Let the host handle it.
Right. Once all that's assembled, this is where the magic happens, right?
Yeah.
The machine finally does the work for us.
Exactly. The host platform then does step four. It generates your RSS feed link. This URL is the public permanent address for your show. It might look something like your host.com, your showfeed.xml. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this URL is the key to your entire podcast. It is your single most important asset.
Because that's the one link all the directories use to pull everything.
Everything.
Forever.
So what are the risks there? If the hosting service generates the link, what could go wrong?
The biggest risk is losing control of it.
If that URL ever breaks, if it gives a 404 error, your show vanishes from every app. Everywhere. That's why if you ever move hosts, you have to be able to set up a 301 redirect. It's like a permanent forwarding address for the internet. Without it, the platforms think your show just died.
Understood. So we have the URL. Now it's time to actually get it out there.
Yep. Step 5 is submitting that feed to the directories. You take that unique link and you register it with Apple Podcasts Connect, Spotify for Podcasters, Google Podcast Manager, all of them. You're essentially giving them that contract and saying, hey, watch this address for updates.
And after you hit submit, you're not done. Step 6 is quality control. What are you looking for in that verification step?
You're checking to see if the XML is being translated correctly by the apps. You check the preview. Does the title look right? Is the cover art sharp, not cropped weirdly? Are all your episode titles and show notes showing up? This step confirms that the platform's validator, and Apple's is usually strictest, has actually accepted your feed's structure.
What happens if, for example, the show looks perfect on Apple Podcasts, but on Spotify, the descriptions are all cut off?
Ah, that's a great question. That tells you that different platforms read the same XML tags differently. Apple might prioritize that iTunes.summary tag we talked about, while Spotify might rely more on the main description field. So verification forces you to spot those little differences and go back to your host to tweak your metadata so it looks good everywhere.
Okay, so the feed is set up. It's validated, it's live, but it's not a set it and forget it kind of thing. This takes us to step 7, which sounds like it's all about ongoing maintenance.
It is, absolutely. Every single time you publish a new episode, that cycle starts over. You write the title, you do the show notes, you upload the audio. Your host then adds a new item to your RSS feed file. The directories are constantly checking that link for changes. The big challenge can be timing.
Let's talk about troubleshooting then. What are the most common headaches podcasters run into with their feed?
The most common one is caching delays. You know, you upload a new episode, but it doesn't show up on Apple for 6 or 8 hours because their system just hasn't checked your feed yet. That can be frustrating. Another one is if you change something major, like your show's category, Apple might have to manually review it, and that can cause delays. But the scariest one, like we mentioned, is a broken redirect. You change hosts, you forget the 301 redirect, and your show effectively dies.
It's fascinating because it really drills home that all this creative work is built on some pretty basic web mechanics.
It really is.
Can you walk us through a quick example? Let's say we have a show.
Sure. Let's imagine you have a podcast called Voluntary in 15 Minute, Volunteers in 15 Minutes. It's about micro-volunteering. You've done all the setup. You upload your cover art. You write the description. Story di micro-volontariato speak day in 15 minuti. You upload the first episode. The host generates the feed. You send that link to Apple Podcasts. And then you just wait. In a few days, your podcast will be live in their app for everyone to find. It's that simple once the foundation is there.
That really crystallizes it. So now the technical foundation is solid. We know how to get the URL, check it, and maintain it. What's the very next skill you need to master to go beyond just distribution?
The next skill is something we've touched on a few times, crafting really compelling show notes. We get that the RSS feed is the delivery truck. It gets the audio to the listener.
But the delivery truck doesn't convince anyone to open the package.
Exactly. Getting the feed right handles distribution. The next challenge is using those show notes to boost engagement and, critically, SEO search engine optimization.
Which brings up a really important question for you, the listener. Given that this whole distribution system is purely technical, how much strategic work should you be putting into the text that surrounds your audio? How do you make your show discoverable in what is a very, very crowded market? That level of optimization, that's definitely something worth exploring next.